the silk of the robe is heavy, a cold, liquid weight that feels less like a garment and more like a second skin I didn't ask for. I am standing in the center of the dressing room, and the air smells of expensive lilies and something sharper, something like ozone. The mirror is a floor-to-ceiling slab of silver that shows me exactly what I am, a guest who has lost her luggage, wearing a gift that costs more than my car. I can hear the ice clinking in a glass in the next room. It's a slow, rhythmic sound. Elena hasn't said a word for 3 minutes. She is sitting on the velvet chaise, watching the way the light catches the hem of the silk. I should have asked for my suitcase. I should have insisted on calling the airline myself instead of letting her assistant handle the stress for me. But the door is closed, and the carpet is so thick it swallows the sound of my own heartbeat. I am 24, and I have been taught that when a woman like Elena Vance offers you her home and her wardrobe, you don't say no, you say thank you. You say it even when the silk feels like a shroud. I walk into the main suite, the robe whispering against my calves. The floor is heated, a low pulsing warmth that makes my toes feel disconnected from the rest of my body. Elena is holding a Leica. It looks small in her hands, a matte black insect. She doesn't raise it to her eye yet. She just watches me move. She tells me that the camera doesn't lie, but it does edit. She says that for me to lead the new division, I have to understand the power of being looked at. I find myself nodding. It feels like a lecture. It feels like a promotion. I reach for the glass of sparkling water on the side table, and my hand trembles just enough to make the crystal ring. Elena smiles. She says that tension is just energy without a direction. She tells me to sit on the edge of the bed. It's a command wrapped in a suggestion. And the bed is a vast white island of high thread count cotton. I sit. I keep the robe closed tight at the throat. I tell myself this is how the elite build trust. This is the inner circle. This is what I worked for. The room is a study in Canadian institutional wealth. Clean lines, glass walls overlooking the frozen expanse of the lake, and a silence that feels enforced by a private security firm. Elena moves with a predator's grace, shifting the floor lamps. She talks about the board. She talks about how they value unflappability. She says that if I can't handle her gaze, I'll never handle theirs. The first snick of the shutter is so quiet, I almost miss it. She hasn't asked if she can take my photo. She has simply assumed that her interest is my permission. I don't tell her to stop. To tell a billionaire to stop taking your photo when she's mentoring you feels like a career suicide note, so I stay still. I look at the black lens. I try to look professional while wearing nothing but 3 pounds of borrowed silk. She asks me to loosen the belt. She says the lines of the robe are distracting from the truth of the frame. Her voice is flat, clinical, the tone of a surgeon or a diamond cutter. I tell her I'm a bit cold. She doesn't offer to turn up the heat. She tells me that discomfort is the first stage of growth. She says she saw this same hesitation in the Prime Minister's daughter before she broke through. She is tethering me to greatness while she unanchors my autonomy. I reach for the silk cord. My fingers feel like they belong to someone else, someone far away and much braver. I loosen the knot. The robe falls open a few inches, exposing the hollow of my throat and the top of my collarbone. The camera clicks again. Snick. It's the sound of a receipt being printed. She moves closer. The scent of her perfume is overwhelming now, a floral weight that makes it hard to draw a full breath. She tells me that the most successful women in the world are the ones who understand that their bodies are just another form of currency, to be spent wisely. She says we are the architects of our own image. She places a hand on my shoulder to adjust my posture. Her skin is very warm. Her thumb brushes against the bare skin of my neck, and I don't flinch. I have been trained to be polite. I have been trained to believe that no is a word used by people who don't want to succeed. I am a Canadian girl from a middle-class suburb. I am allergic to making a scene. I am terrified of being the person who misunderstands a professional moment and makes it weird. She tells me to let the robe fall off my shoulders. She says it as if she's asking me to hand her a pen. I tell her I don't think I'm comfortable with that. She stops. She lowers the camera and looks at me with a profound, weary disappointment. She says she thought I had the medal. She says that if I'm going to be precious about my modesty, then perhaps the Vancouver office isn't the right fit. She says it's a shame because she's already drafted the announcement. The silence that follows is a vacuum. It sucks the air out of the room. I think about the student loans. I think about my mother's pride. I think about the fact that Elena Vance is a woman, and women don't do that kind of thing. It's just art. It's just branding. It's just the cost of doing business. I let the silk slide down. It pools around my elbows. The air hits my skin like a slap. The camera doesn't stop. Snick, snick, snick. She tells me I'm beautiful. She says it with the same detachment she'd use to describe a piece of granite. She tells me to lie back. She says the shadows on the duvet will create a stark industrial contrast. I am staring at the ceiling, at the recessed lighting that looks like tiny unblinking eyes. I am rationalizing. I am telling myself that she is a visionary. I am telling myself that I am in control because I am choosing to stay. I am choosing to be the kind of woman who can handle this. The failure point isn't a locked door. The failure point is my own refusal to be difficult. The camera is on the bedside table now, but the red light is still blinking. She is sitting on the edge of the bed, her hand resting on my hip. She is talking about the fiscal year. She is talking about the quarterly reports. Her hand is moving, a slow, deliberate slide of palm against skin. It's not a caress. It's a claim. I tell her, I think I should go to my own room now. I say it with a smile, the kind of smile you use when you're trying to decline a second helping of a dish you hate. She doesn't move her hand. She tells me that the snow is picking up. She says the roads are closed. She says that we have so much more to develop. She moves her hand higher, her fingers hooking into the edge of the robe that is still tangled around my waist. She doesn't ask. She never asks. She simply proceeds with the absolute, terrifying confidence of someone who knows that my silence is a contract. I am thinking about the non-disclosure I signed after the second glass of wine. I am thinking about the clause regarding collaborative content. I am looking at the red light of the Leica. It is recording. Everything is being documented as a voluntary participation in a creative exercise. If I scream now, I am the one who is crazy. If I fight now, I am the one who is unprofessional. I am the one who is breaking the deal. The weight of her is a surprise. She is small, but she feels like a mountain. She leans over me, her hair brushing against my face, and she tells me that this is what it feels like to be part of something larger than myself. She says that most people live their whole lives without ever being truly seen. I feel the cold metal of her watch against my inner thigh. I am focusing on a small water stain on the ceiling. It looks like a map of a country I'll never visit. I am nodding. I am whispering, okay. I am telling myself that if I just get through the next hour, I will have the career I've always wanted. I am making a reasonable deal. I am being a team player. The room is very quiet, except for the sound of the wind howling across the lake and the intermittent digital snick of the camera's timer. Every 30 seconds, a flash of white light fills the room, illuminating the scene in a series of frozen, jagged moments. My body is a landscape. She is surveying. She is talking about the power of surrender. She says that true power is the ability to take what you want without ever having to use force, because you've made the other person believe they want it too. I realize then that she isn't even looking at me anymore. She is looking at the screen of her phone, which is synced to the camera. She is looking at the image of me. The image is more real to her than the person breathing underneath her. I feel a sharp, sudden pang of recognition, a delayed fuse finally reaching the powder. This isn't mentorship. This isn't a creative exercise. This is a harvest. She is gathering the pieces of my dignity to keep in a digital vault, to be used as leverage or as entertainment or as a trophy of her own reach. I try to sit up, but her arm is across my chest, a heavy bar of bone and muscle. She doesn't look up from the phone. She just tells me to stay in the light. She says the composition is perfect. I am numb now. The cold from the window has finally reached the bed. I am watching her thumb scroll through the photos of me, the ones where I look like a willing participant, the ones where I am smiling that terrified, polite smile. In the photos, I look like I'm having the time of my life. I look like a girl who is finally making it. I look like a girl who said yes. She scrolls past a photo of me with my eyes closed, my head tilted back, and she taps the screen. She says, "This is the one. This is the face of the new Vancouver." I don't say anything. I don't move. I am waiting for the flash. I am waiting for the next snick. I am waiting for the moment I can go back to my room and find my clothes. But as she leans down to press her lips against the hollow of my throat, I realize that my clothes aren't in my room. My suitcase never arrived. My phone is in her purse. My car is in the city, 500 kilometers away. And the non-disclosure I signed says that everything that happens in this house is her intellectual property. I am a reasonable person. I am a professional. I am the new face of the Vancouver office. And as the flash goes off one more time, blinding me for a split second, I realize that I am not an intruder in this private space. I am the furniture. I am the silk. I am the silence that she has mistaken for a yes. The heater clicks off. The silence that follows is absolute. Elena whispers into my ear, her voice a warm, poisonous honey, telling me that I did so well. She says she's proud of me. She says that tomorrow we'll start the real work. I stay very still. I am thinking about the word tomorrow. It feels like a prison sentence. It feels like a long white corridor with no doors. I look at the camera. The red light is still on. It is always on. I find myself wondering if in the next photo, I'll still be able to see the person I was 4 hours ago, or if she's already been edited out of the frame. I tell her thank you. I say it because it's the only thing I know how to say. I say it because the alternative is to acknowledge that I am currently being dismantled. She smiles and pats my cheek. She tells me to get some sleep. She says she'll leave the light on just in case I get scared. She walks out of the room, taking the camera with her, but leaving the silk robe on the floor. It looks like a shed skin. I lie there in the dark, watching the snow press against the glass, and I realize that the door didn't need to lock. I locked it myself when I decided to be polite. The last thing I hear before I drift into a shallow gray sleep is the sound of her in the next room, laughing softly at something on her screen. The sound is sharp and clear, cutting through the silence of the house. It is the sound of someone who has just won a very long, very quiet game. I am not a victim. I am a partner. That's what the contract says. That's what the photos show. And in this world, if it's documented, it's true. I close my eyes and try to remember the sound of my own voice. But all I can hear is the snick of the shutter, over and over again, echoing in the hollow spaces where my no used to live.